It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
What's up, everybody? I'm Paul Hickey with NoOffseason.com. This is the Sports Card Strategy Show, brought to you by Graybo's Sports Cards. Graybo's Sports Cards is a local hobby shop owned by Gray Burnett, Ryan Fitz, and Duke Denny One-Time Dodson. They're located in the Arts District of Richmond, Virginia. Graybo's sports the best selection of raw and graded singles in the Mid-Atlantic and a wide variety of wax. Graybo's breaks on whatnot and or drip 5 nights a week. Listeners of Sports Card Strategy can receive a 10% discount from Graybo's on drip, whatnot, or their website at graybo's.co by entering the code STRATEGY2023. You can follow all of Graybo's news and updates on Instagram at graybo's_cards. Don't forget to get a free 30-day trial at nooffseason.com today to help you make money flipping sports cards, build your sports card investment portfolio, get unlimited advice from our experts, and take sports card school to navigate the hobby. That's nooffseason.com. Get your free 30-day trial today. All the data we use on the Sports Card Strategy Show is from MarketMoversApp.com. Use code NOOFFSEASON at MarketMoversApp.com to get 20% off for life after a free 14-day trial. All right, let's get to the Sports Card Strategy.
Good morning, everyone. Connor Barnett here, head of content at nooffseason.com. This morning, I got Paul Hickey alongside me for another Sports Card Strategy Show and Tell. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
Great, man. What's up? I'm excited for the show and tell submissions today. Again, happy new year to everyone out there in the audience. Good to see you, Connor.
Good stuff. Yeah, we got good stuff planned today as well. We're going to talk a little bit of goals, 2024 goals, some of our goals, some audience goals. And then we're going to hit the usual show and tell submissions and do a little discussion on how to be featured on the shows moving forward within the network. Real quick, we'll do some housekeeping before we hop into some goal talk. So real quick, at nooffseason.com, we have launched Sports Card School. This is the number one spot to refine your knowledge and improve your sports card strategy, no matter how much or little experience you have in the hobby. Be sure to head over to nooffseason.com to learn how to navigate the hobby and ultimately build a collection that increases in value. You can also get a free 30-day trial at nooffseason.com, our premium package, today to start learning our guidelines, strategies, and plays to help you make money flipping sports cards to fund your PC and other things in your life. A lot of good stuff in the premium package. Obviously, it gives you access to the Overflow show where you can ask questions. They air every Friday. We got one coming out tomorrow. So as you guys have questions, that's your best spot to get unlimited personalized sports card advice there. Also, spots are filling fast in our one-on-one sports card strategist package that Paul talked about last week. We're getting a lot of good questions from you guys, a lot of good emails, a lot of good conversations. So if you're interested, get more information and see if this package may be a good fit for you. Be sure to email Paul at paul@nooffseason.com. Before we hop into things, I want to give some quick live chat love. What's up, SSI, Southern Soccer Idiot? We got Brian Steeler, 714. Craig's Cards 11 and Randy Ferguson, thank you all for being here this morning. Excited to hop into the content that we have for you guys today. Let's kick things off talking about goals, Paul. 2024 is here. Everyone always has their resolutions. Everyone's got their goals. I'm excited for me because this will be my first full year where I'm really diving into the hobby. not just doing a ton of research, but applying the knowledge that I've learned from you and our other coworkers and our no offseason family. So I'm really excited for 2024. I'm curious what your goals are for the year, Paul. You want to hop into to some of the things that you're trying to accomplish this year in terms of sports card flipping?
Absolutely. One thing I'm trying to accomplish right now is filling our last spot for the one-on-one strategist package. So we have one spot left. Get in. There's a lot of people that are emailing and considering filling that last spot. So I've notified all of them that, hey, if somebody else beats them to it, we got to give it to them. So if you haven't emailed me yet for that last spot, do it now, Paul at nooffseason.com. So that's one goal. And that kind of goes along with a big goal for me, Connor. Kind of a big announcement in my life. Many of you know that for the past several years, like all of us have, I've had alternate supporting income streams other than flipping sports cards and running nooffseason.com. Well, 2024 is going to be the year where I am going to focus on one income stream in terms of the hobby. The hobby will be my income stream in 2024. It's going to be nothing other than running nooffseason.com with you and the rest of the team and flipping sports cards. I'm not the type of person to put out a YouTube video that says with some cheesy thumbnail, I quit my job and I'm flipping sports cards and all that stuff. But essentially, that's what we're doing over here. So I'm excited. So my main goal is make that work with all of you. All of you in the audience are going to be a big part of that. So I appreciate you in terms of how that's going to work flipping. I am going to be laser focused on taking guidelines, turning them into strategies, and executing plays like a stone cold sniper assassin, my friend. Those are my goals for 2024. What do you got, brother?
I absolutely love it, Paul. I'm excited to kind of get your full attention as we continue to build and provide more and more value for everyone that listens to our content. Super excited for 2024. Good goals there. I've got a couple goals, some wide, some narrow. Starting things off, going to kind of reiterate some of the stuff we discussed yesterday on the Sports Card Strategy Show. Developing a narrow focus area. So talked about it yesterday. I'm looking to focus on timing the market properly to create efficiency in my sports card strategy, really remove any speculation and ultimately risk and save myself time. I think this is one of the easiest ways that you can make profits, simply timing the market, buying the right card of the right player at the right time, knowing when my sell marker is and using cyclicality and seasonality as my sell markers there. Another thing, very fortunate to enter the hobby with easy access to knowledge and great support from you, Paul, the rest of our no off-season family, coworkers, and things like that. So for me, my goal is to 5X initial cash flow. I'm starting the year off with roughly $1,000 looking to put into cards. I want to end with 5K for the year, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on if that is an attainable goal for someone that's new to the hobby. Obviously, this will be my first year really locking in on things, and curious if you think that this is this a doable number, Paul? 5K, 5X.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's a great number to start with. It's kind of the number that I'm starting 2024 with as well. I'm kind of getting into specifics. I'm kind of taking my cash flow left over from 2023 net profits and just reinvesting that into 2024. And $1,000 is basically what I'm starting with as well. And I think $5,000 by the end of the year in net profit is very, very attainable. It's very reasonable. There'll be a path to that profit that we can unpack throughout 2024 in our content with everyone. And one thing that you made me think of is, I don't think I've said this on the show yet, but I've said it a lot at Sports Card School. As I've put together Sports Card School, there's actually a spreadsheet that is visible to anyone with the link. So you have to be a premium subscriber to access that link, but anyone with the link can literally see exactly what I'm doing, exactly full transparency what I'm doing. And so I'm not just arbitrarily saying, yeah, sure, I think that you can make $5,000 net profit. That's based on me looking at my stuff and what I'm doing and seeing the net profit I'm making and saying 100% absolutely you can do it. And all of you in the audience can do it as well. And two ways to help do that, if you're not already confident in your methodology and execution and haven't done it before and need a little bit of help is, of course, being a premium member or doing that one-on-one strategist package. But I'm going to stop plugging that and get back to your goals. I think those are great goals.
Good stuff. Yeah, I got one more goal, but before I hit on it, good morning to Dr. Crack Chad Gill. Says 1,000 to 5,000. What will you do with the last 9 months of the year? Chad thinks I'm going to accomplish the goal in Q1. I love to hear it, obviously, with the guidance of our guys. I was curious to see if Paul was actually going to say I was setting the limit too low. I think it's a decent spot.
I'm Dave Ramsey of sports cards. I'm conservative.
Right.
Chad, I love you, man. I love Dr. Crack's confidence level, not only in himself, but in you, Connor, and the rest of our nooffseason.com family. Shout out to Chad Gill. He's the man. Chad coming in strong and going, I think you're going to do this in 3 months, Connor. Step it up, baby.
Absolutely love it. Good morning, Chad. And then rounding off my goals real quick. This one's kind of like an overarching theme. So for me, I want to create a clean process within my sports card strategy that becomes repeatable. For me, I want to be able to repeat processes. We talked yesterday a lot, Paul, about repeating profits from the same players, making recurring profits. I essentially want my strategy to kind of fall under that same umbrella. So strictly following guidelines to build strategies and execute plays. I want to find what works for me, and I want to be able to repeat. Obviously, the market's going to shift from year to year, but I think overall we can find guidelines that are repeatable year after year. Really, I want to use as little energy as possible to hit my profit goals. I want to put a ton of time into this business with you, Paul, and a lot of my energy is going to go there. I love playing golf. I got a lot of things I like to do outside of sports cards. So here, I want to hit my goals in the most efficient way possible. I'm looking forward to diving deeper into my strategy with you all as 2024 moves along and sharing with audience both my struggles and my successes.
Right on, brother. Love it.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's go ahead and transition into a little bit of audience talk this morning. We asked you guys to send us some goals yesterday. We got some feedback from you guys. Definitely continue to keep sending them to myself, Connor at nooffseason.com, or Paul at nooffseason.com. This morning, we're going to hear from Dave Schwartz, a.k.a. Iowa Dave, on his 2024 goals. He's got some good stuff. So we'll go ahead and let Iowa Dave take things away.
What's up, No Offseason Nation? This is Dave Schwartz, Iowa Dave Sports Cards on Instagram, and these are my sports card goals for 2024. Number one, I want to make it to the National or else some other major show. I went to my first National last year in Chicago. It was tremendous. It was the best experience I had in the sports card industry all year. This year it's in Cleveland, and I'm trying to talk my wife into going. She's a huge music fan. That's where the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is. I thought we could make a day of that. Later on, I could go do some cards. She could do her thing. I thought that would be fun. So that's number one. But if we can't make it there, then I'd like to make it to Dallas, like to make it to Indy for the Midwest Monster. But there needs to be some major show on my docket for 2024. Number two is I want to acquire one of these three Albert Pujols cards. Either his 2001 SP Authentic out of 1250 rookie card, which I think is his best looking rookie card. His 2004 Topps Chrome Red X-Fractor. It's not numbered, but less than 70 copies were made. And it's just a beautiful card. And then the other one is this 2011 Topps Finest Red Refractor out of 25. I used to not be a color match person, but the more I get involved in this as a hobby, and the more that I start collecting St. Louis Cardinals, like Pujols, Molina, Stan Musial, those types of players, I really have come to appreciate the red on red. Okay, number three. I'm going to try to think about sports cards less. And I know that sounds weird, but I was really consumed a lot of time just thinking about cards, even when I didn't have them in front of me, when I wasn't working on my podcast, The Shallow End. It was just always on my brain. And sometimes even when I was at work, I found myself thinking about cards, and that was just a little bit too much. So I think I would like to be able to compartmentalize a little bit more in 24 and be a little bit more present, if you will. And definitely, you know, I love sports cards. I want to keep thinking about it and doing it and collecting them and talking about them. But, you know, maybe 30% less would be healthy. And then lastly, is I want to get better at video production and video editing. So I worked on the audio side of things a lot last year, and I would like to just be a little bit better in how I present myself on camera this year. It's never been my favorite medium, but I think for me to have a better experience and to really just enjoy this space a little bit more, I think that video is the logical next step. So those are the four things. Thanks so much. Happy 2024.
Thanks so much, Iowa Dave, for the submission there. Paul, you want to go ahead and hop in with some feedback for Iowa Dave?
For sure. I love Iowa Dave. Great guy. Funny story was at the National in Chicago last year, I was like running around our booth, and shout out to Tim Larson, who essentially allowed us to squat in his booth. But we took over his booth, and we were doing a lot of stuff. I was running around, meeting a lot of people, checking out a lot of cards, having a ball. And like during one of my sprints back to our booth from checking out cards and networking, I see this dude and I recognize him, and I'm like, and we both stop, and I'm like, Iowa Dave. And he's like, Paul Hickey. And like, it was the first time we'd ever met. And I think that's what's phenomenal about the hobby. I love Iowa Dave. I love what he stands for. The Shallow End is a great podcast. You should all go check it out. And we're going to see more Iowa Dave likely on our channel as well. So I'm excited about that. One couple other things. Shout out to Craig's Cards 11 in the live chat. Iowa Dave mentioned going to potentially the Midwest Monster. Craig says Midwest Monster is a good show. Nashville Big Show is much better. We will be there, Connor, March 8th through 10th with Craig's Cards 11. Craig reached out to me and said, hey, do you want to get tables next to each other? I looked at my calendar and I was like, yes, let's make it happen. That's going to be perfect. So Sports Card Strategy Show will be there next to Craig's Cards 11, sharing a couple tables at the Nash-Annul in March. I'm excited about that. And lastly, Connor, Iowa Dave said something that resonated with me that actually is one of my 2024 goals as well. And I think you know what it is. It's getting better at the video production. We want to be putting out videos on this YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulHickey, for those of you listening, or on Instagram. It's youtube.com/PaulHickey, where we want to be putting out better, quick-hitting insight YouTube videos. And so increasing our ability to produce on YouTube and on Instagram is definitely one of my 2024 goals as well.
Good stuff there. And another point that I want to make real quick on the YouTube stuff that just came into my brain. If you're someone that tries to catch as many live shows as possible but misses a couple, that's going to be such a good resource for you, especially moving forward, to get our content in an efficient manner, because we're going to be piecing together kind of our quick, like you're saying, those quick hitter points, those top value points throughout our episodes, throwing them on YouTube. So if you miss a show, that's going to be a great spot for you to quickly identify what you're looking for, what you're trying to find, and getting your answers there. So just a quick point there. Be sure to leave comments, drop your questions, all that fun stuff there. And we appreciate the support. Oh yeah, shout out to Iowa Dave. Great stuff there. We want to hear a lot of your goals. We want to hear from all of you in the audience. So we're going to touch more on how to be featured on the shows Monday and Wednesday a little bit later in the show, but definitely be reaching out to me and Paul, Connor@nooffseason.com and Paul@nooffseason.com. And with that, we'll go ahead and hop into our submissions for the day. Got some good stuff. We're going to kick things off, excuse me, with Jordan Levine. He's going to screen share some PSA reveals as of late and discuss a little bit of strategy. He's got some strong returns and some interesting inserts of basketball prints, which you guys know I love. So without further ado, we will let Jordan Levine take things away.
What's going on, everyone? This is Jordan again. This is my second show and tell submission, and today I wanted to talk a little bit about my strategy and do it kind of as a PSA reveal type of thing. Even though I've already got seen these grades and I've sold a bunch of these cards already, but I just want to show this order, and I've got a couple other orders that are going to be coming back that are kind of similar in this strategy. So just to talk a little bit about the actual strategy, I'm doing all basketball right now. because that's what I know best right now. And I'm doing basketball, pretty much basketball stars only. I'm buying raw cards that are mainly between about $5 and $30. And the way that I'm getting stars while also being cheap in terms of the raw card is I'm not necessarily having the biggest brand all the time. I'm not doing like Silver Prism rookies, but instead I'm doing kind of cards that are maybe a little less known, or veteran cards, not necessarily rookies, or inserts. Think cards that I think are really cool and maybe like color match or something like that, or just in general, they just seem really cool that maybe not everyone has seen or knows about. And a lot of them have low pop in the PSA pop report. And so they're more the kind of cards that I think like team collectors might be buying. But they're just cards that if you like the player and you look at them, that I think that someone would say like, oh, I want that card. That's a cool card. I haven't seen anything like that. Basically there might be lower demand for these since people don't know about them or look for them, but there's also very low supply. So I think that I can do well, and it seems like I can do well with this strategy. I did really well with this order. I got 16 out of 20 gems. It's a value bulk order, 16 out of 20 PSA 10s. And although it's important to note that I had to go through a bunch of cards, buying cards on eBay to get ones that I felt like were worth sending in. So, and I'm still working on selling some of the raw cards. So I don't have like the final numbers of how much I'll probably lose some money just on reselling because of all the fees and, you know, you're paying tax on the buy end and shipping on the buy end. And then on the sell end, you're getting the fees. So even though I buy them as cheap as I can, I probably lose something overall, but I don't think it'll be enough to make this not worthwhile. Anyways, let me just get into a few of these cards. I'm not going to go through all of them. So let's see. First one, this is just a good example. It's Anthony Edwards, not rookie, but it's a cool insert from Court Kings. And this is a pop one. I got the card for $7. So I was into it with grading for $27. And I was able to sell it for $95 after fees. So I made about almost $70 on it. And I think that's just because I was able to say it's a pop one, and it's just cool. Someone in Minnesota bought it. So this is the most expensive card I put in the order, kind of an outlier. I was into it, including grading for 100, hoping for a 10. It would have been a really unique card. This is an out of 10, the yellow etch from Obsidian. And I thought it was worth the risk. I ended up losing $20. I sold it already, but I think it was worth the risk because a 10 might have gone for $300 or $400. This is just an example, like, you know, a Silver Prism Anthony Edwards. You could buy it raw. I have no idea what it is, like at least probably $200 or more. I don't want to do that, so I bought this for $25, into it for $45 with grading, and it goes for $125. I haven't sold it yet. But the last one went for $125. This one, I'm probably going to keep it. It's just really cool. But again, like, this is, I think, a pop two. Obsidian isn't the easiest to grade, but I just love it. And this one, it looked perfect. It got a 10. This is out of 10. So I was into it total for like $55 with grading. I don't know what it goes for because there's not really comps, but I'm sure I would do well on it. But I think I'm going to hold it for now because I think Maxi is just really good. And if I want to sell it, maybe I'll sell it in the playoffs. Here's an example of like a cheap check card. I got it for $5. This was in the off season. So it's probably worth more now raw, but I sold it now in a 10 for 70. And like I said, I'm not going to go through all of them. Okay, I'll show this one. This is maybe the coolest card. Well, another one that's really cool is this is out of 45 LeBron from 2014. And I just like the look of the card, and there's not much comps on it. I haven't even seen a numbered version of this card since I bought this one, like several months ago. I haven't seen another one on eBay, but the last one that went that was numbered, which was numbered out of 99. So this is out of 49. The last one out of 99 in a 10 went in auction for $230. So I could do really well on this because this is technically a better card. And I bought it for $25 raw. Yeah, so I think that... Oh, okay, last one just to show it's not all great. Bam, got a six. Big fat six. I missed some dents on the back. So that was my fault for sure. And this, I haven't done it yet, but I think it's going to be my first crack. I'm going to try to crack it. And it won't be the end of the world if it fails because it's not a very expensive card. So, anyways... that's the reveal. Thanks again for having me, and yeah, I'll hope to stay in touch with you guys. Thanks,
Paul. Here's what I've gotten from Jordan Levine from the first two submissions. If you look back to last week, it was a bunch of dollar box stuff that he found at shows. I think Jordan Levine's a grinder. I think he's in the trenches finding plays. Before we get your feedback on this submission, I got a question for you relating to his strategy. So a lot of the cards that we would see, I don't think necessarily we would be recommending as the right card for some of these players. When we're looking at the plays that he's making, and the play is to find cheap raw cards, get them graded to try to increase upside, and it's low upfront capital investment for him, right? So essentially, it's lower risk just because of the minimal upfront investment that he has to make. Does that open up the window in terms of what is the right card just because of the strategy that he's using?
Yeah. Great analysis, Connor. That's exactly right. I was thinking during his entire submission, what a great job he's done finding the right cards. Because when we say the right card, what that really means is that find a card that is the right card for that right player at the right time. When we talk about it in the context of the Sports Card Strategy Show and at nooffseason.com, it's so hard to find the kinds of cards that Jordan is finding. And other people that come to mind that find those types of cards off the top of my head is our guy Mosaic Joe and Lonnie Conley. And there's others in the community that do that too. Chad does it. Craig Cards 11. I mean, we have a lot of very astute sports card buyers and flippers that are part of our family and our audience. But Jordan's one of them, clearly, because he's doing a great job finding alternative versions of the right card. What blows me away is his ability to profit off of non-rookie cards. That's super hard. So not only is it very difficult to find alternative versions of the right card that are going to gem, but taking it a step further, finding non-rookie cards, which is like a whole different stratosphere that we say to totally avoid. And the reason why we say to fade things often, I want everybody to know this, is not because you can't go into those areas and make money. It's because it's very hard for us to articulate all the different intricacies that it takes for us to not get confused, you know, for us to not get confused in the sort of mostly one-way communication, but we try to do our best job at two-way communication, doing things like we talk about all the time with the premium membership and the one-on-one strategist package and talking to the live chat and emailing people and DMing people. There's a lot of two-way communication, but there's much more one-way. There's much more, we're writing an article about something or we're talking about something on the show. And in those one-way communications, it's very hard to articulate all the different intricacies that it takes to make money the way that Jordan's making money and the way that other people in our community are making money. But Jordan just did a phenomenal job doing that, and you nailed it, Connor. And I think that's why I love the show and tell, because I sit there and learn from the submissions as well. And it makes everybody stronger. It makes me stronger. Thank you, Jordan, for a wonderful submission. I'm glad you're out there grinding. Totally agree, Connor. Dude is a grinder, man. I love it.
I love it too. Speaking of learning, now that I've got my basketball fix, it's time to do some learning into the realm of soccer cards. That means SSI is up next. Always love hearing his submissions, Southern Soccer Idiot, and his breakdown, his PSA returns, all the above. So go ahead and take things away, SSI.
What's up, everybody? Happy Thursday and Happy New Year. This is Kevin, the Southern Soccer Idiot, SSI, and I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year, and I hope your holidays were fantastic. Late Merry Christmas to everyone. I hope all your gatherings with both friends and family have been warm and bright, and I wish you all the best this year in 2024. I am here today with a PSA reveal. Now, I know the grades on all these cards. I did the blind reveal on my channel back in December, and I'm actually filming this on December 15th because I have a card show this weekend in Huntsville, Alabama, December 16th and 17th. Hopefully, I have good things to report back in the future on the Sports Card Strategy Show, but let's just go ahead and get right into the PSA reveal. I think it's six cards. It's either 10 or 11 cards. This was an absolute roller coaster of a reveal. Strangely, all the cards I submitted, they were like chronologically, sequentially in a row from worst to first. So the beginning of my video is an absolute beatdown. I was taken out on a stretcher. DOA, dead on the spot, dead on arrival, but the very end was two huge cards that I am super, super pumped about. So let's get into it. Bad news up front, a 2019 Panini Chronicles, Phil Foden, Donruss Soccer, Orange Laser. Beautiful, beautiful card. Got a six. I have no idea why. There must be some sort of surface issue. I still don't understand because the corner centering edges are absolutely perfect. The back, all that white is very clean. The orange laser stuff is very clean. I don't know why I got a six on that. I got hammered. One of my favorite cards in the world, 2019 Topps Finest Erling Haaland prized footballer insert. A big fat six on that. There is a dimple down here that somehow I missed, but otherwise the card is perfect on centering. Edges and corners are super clean. This is one of the most well-centered prize footballers I've ever seen. But one little surface dimple and PSA put the hammer down on me. 2019 Topps Chrome, Erling Haaland and Marco Reus teammate sensations refractor. Very cool insert. Like that a lot. You know, Haaland was at Dortmund for a couple years. Royce is a living legend at Dortmund. I got hammered for a seven on that one, unfortunately. Those have a D on the back of them because I will explain that in just a moment. Beautiful card that I pulled myself, a 2022-23 Topps Merlin Chrome Champions League or UEFA Champions League UEFA Club Competitions, UCC, excuse me. Kylian Mbappe, the blue shimmered, numbered to, 75. Yeah, 75 there on the front. Absolutely beautiful card, color match. Got an 8 on that. Don't know why. Centering's just a tad bit off on the back. I just don't get why that got to be an 8. But it also has a D on the back of that. I'll explain in a moment. Kyoru Mitoma. PSA 8 for the blue color match, unnumbered, but a beautiful, beautiful card. I have spoken on Mitoma before. I think he's a big-time player for the future. Love watching him play. 8. I'll be lucky to get my grading fees back on that. Alejandro Balde, 21-22, Topps Merlin Chrome, UEFA Champions League. Autograph, just a refractor autograph. Got an 8 on that. Don't know why. The card looks fantastic. The centering is really fantastic on it. Centering's tough on Merlin sometimes. I did not grade the autograph because the autograph is smudged. It looked like he put his the edge of his hand down on it as he was signing all the stickers. So maybe they took away for the grade on that. Don't know. 2022-2023 Panini Chronicles Alejandro Garnacho. Rookie ticket. Silver. Got a PSA 9 on that. That is a card I bought at a show not long ago for about $4 or $5. So should be able to at least get something for that. That one also has a D on it. So these four cards that all have D's on the back. A friend of mine offered to buy all of these just because he wants soccer inventory. He doesn't even really care if he has low grades. He just needs soccer inventory for his shows that he does up in Virginia. So he's at least giving me some money back on those. I'm taking a bath on the Haaland card. The sensations I've had for a long, long time. I think I pulled that card myself. The Mbappe card I pulled myself, and this one was like $3. I sold all of them to him for $155. Big loss on the Haaland card, but you know, whatever. I'm getting the grading submission cost me about $230, so at least I'm gonna get money back on my grading submission. Josko Gvardiol, 2021-2022 Topps Merlin Chrome. Orange Refractor, number 225, if I recall. Yep. Pulled that on my own. Formerly a Red Bull Leipzig, now with Man City. Fantastic, fantastic defender. One of the best in the world. I expected a lot better on that. Maybe the centering's off somewhere. Maybe a little bit to the right on the back, but I think it deserved better than a 9. This is where PSA really gets you because... you know, I believe they should have 9.5. So that's an argument for another time. It's a whole other can of worms. Desiree Doué, a big-time prospect in France. This is the 2022-2023 Topps Merlin Chrome. This is a purple refractor, number to 15. I pulled this myself. PSA 9 for the show this weekend. I do have a sticker of 150 on it. If somebody offered me even down to 75, I would probably sell it. Doué is not a regular starter yet. He is a big-time prospect, but you know, he has really no reason for his card to be super high right now. So if somebody offers me, like I said, $75, $100, I'll probably take it for that one. Pulled it myself out of a blaster, so that'd be a fantastic return on that. Last two cards, the gems of the submission, a 2015 Panini Select, Lionel Messi National Pride Blue Prism number to 299. That is an absolutely gorgeous card. Try to get my reflection out of the way a little bit. That blue color match is just absolutely stunning. Got the Gem Mint 10 on that. Absolutely love this card. This card comes in like red, orange, and camo parallels. None of them look anywhere close to as beautiful as the blue. The blue is the highest numbered. No, like I said, numbered to 299. So there is more of the blue than anything else. But it's the best looking card by far, regardless of it's one of the higher number ones. But super happy, super, super happy about that. I got 600 on the back of that. I'd probably take about 500 on that if somebody, you know, were to offer for me at the show this weekend. Let's hope we get lucky. And last card, if you recall, sometime back I did a submission on Show and Tell about my recent pickups. And one of my recent pickups, actually at the same show I bought... Garnacho and a couple other random singles, raw singles. I pulled this from a blaster box. I was making no sales at the show, was bored, and decided to open a few Donruss blaster boxes just to pass the time. First box I opened, the very first pack, this Ronaldo Kaboom was in there. Ended up getting a Gem Mint 10 on that. I've got a 1250 sticker on it. Hopefully I can report to you that I sold it. Being that I did pull it myself, I probably would give a pretty good discount on that if somebody also wanted to trade me some sort of card back in the transaction. That's a whole nother subject. Anytime I ever do a sale at shows, especially if I knock off a lot on the price, or even if I don't knock off too much on the price, I always try to get a card back from someone so that my inventory always stays high. I at least want the cases to be full when I'm doing a show, regardless if it's, you know, a $500, $1,200, $5,000 card, I at least want some other $40, $50, $60 cards in there. Doesn't really matter what they are as long as I think that they'll sell. I always want to replace inventory one for one plus the money, and so that hopefully it works out in my favor in the long run. So those were the two whoppers of my return. Hope I got two more returns coming in soon. I will definitely reveal those on show and tell. But for now, thank you all for watching. Happy Thursday and Happy New Year. See you next time. Much love, many blessings.
Man, shout out SSI for the range that's in the submission. This PSA return submission. We got some exciting returns. We got some disappointing returns, and I absolutely love SSI's complete lack of regard for the disappointing grades that come back. And we also got some strategy talk. We got some strategy talk for selling at card shows, things like that. So, Paul, curious to get your feedback here on the great submission that we got from SSI.
Great insights from SSI in terms of, if you're watching and listening carefully, you're seeing things like how he puts stickers on his cards as a dealer. He puts them on the back of the card. He wants to keep the showcases full. What he looks for in trades. You got to give SSI a lot of love for the fact that he's in Alabama and he's selling all soccer cards at a sports card show. I mean, that's incredible. He and I have talked about that, the challenges of that. He does a great job educating the masses on soccer cards. Shout out to SSI. Hopefully we will see him at a card show this year. SP123 in the live chat. Good to see you as well. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to Andrew Perry, Justin Stewart commenting as well in the live chat. But yeah, SSI did a phenomenal job there too. Looks like, does he have an update here for us, Connor? Is that an update?
It is indeed. It says, I bundled the four cards to my friend for $150 and sold the Ronaldo Kaboom for $750 to a buying / selling dealer at the show. All in all, I made out well with the submission. We love to hear it, SSI. Keep the videos coming. I love learning soccer from you. You always got good insight, and there's a lot of different characteristics in your video that I think provide value to the audience.
What I want to know real quick from SSI is, I want to know, was it just the audio on the video, or was he really slamming down the PSA slabs hard for the non-10s? I mean, it seemed like every single non-gem mint 10, he was just pissed and just slamming it on the table. Like, without regard for how the condition of that slab would be after the show and tell submission. But I love it, SSI. Love you. Thank you for all you do for us.
Definitely. I echo all of that. He said that the slam and jam was real. Gotta love it, SSI. Good work, as always, there. Up next, we got our final submission for the day. This one's actually a bit of a throwback submission. A couple months back, I went to the National, not the big one, the National Cards and Collectibles Show. I was able to meet up with several listeners, audience members, and members of the family at nooffseason.com. So Marty Neal is going to get his submission played today. I appreciate Marty having the patience with me, but it is a great submission. He's going to go through some of his collection. He's got some awesome baseball prospect flyer stuff that he breaks down, how he's making money. He talks some of his strategies, goals, why he's flipping, his purpose for doing this stuff. So I think it's a pretty strong submission here. So I will go ahead and let myself and Marty take things away.
Strategy show and tellers, Connor Barnett here. I'm here with Marty Neal. Marty, it's nice to meet you, sir. Happy to be together. Where are we at today, Marty?
We are at the National National in Nashville, Tennessee card show.
Yes, sir. We got about, what is it, 800 tables here today?
Yep.
Yeah, so correct. Pretty good sized show. There's a lot of stuff to get your hands on and take a look at. I just kind of wanted to, it's always cool when we go places to kind of meet up with the viewers and the listeners, and we appreciate you guys. So I'm glad we had a moment to get together
Absolutely.
Today. But let's just kind of go through your collection, what got you into things. So when did you start collecting? Why did you start collecting?
Well, I'm similar to the story of everybody else. I got started back in collecting a couple of years ago. It wasn't necessarily a COVID being bored issue, but my son got into it, kind of drew me back in, and I remember collecting as a kid. And so I do a lot of the Bowman cards, the prospects, because where I've played Dynasty Baseball for a long time and do a lot of the prospects, so that's Sure. pretty much my focus. And then I am a Braves fan also, so I PC some Braves items. So
yeah. You're more on the flipping side than the collection side, you say?
I am. I think I'm in sales for my regular job.
Okay.
And so I struggle a little bit between the buying stuff to try to make money versus something just to hold. So sure. I've got a few PC cards at home, mostly Braves items. My dad bought me a Montana rookie when I was like 12 that I still have that I ended up got graded. So I've got a few items like that and looking to maybe pick up another item or two. Yeah. So, yeah, with having a sales mindset, I'm constantly fighting myself versus the buying a card for my PC versus sinking that into five more prospect cards that I can possibly get graded and flip and,
sure.
and deal with that all the time. So my my PC is slowly coming along because I just really enjoy the flipping aspect from it and watching the young guys. But yeah, that's pretty much my focus.
What do you have long-term goals-wise in terms of flipping? What do you flip for?
Honestly, I flip just to almost self-fund my flipping and my PC goals.
Sure.
I'd like to get to the point where I'm, you know, flipping enough to where, you know, if we need something for family-wise, then I can kind of cover that stuff and make some extra money there. So
sure.
I'm still working to get to that point. But yeah, right now it's pretty much just self-funding. You know, it was kind of hard to keep up with it, so I had to set up my own bank account for this yep. stuff. So I'm going to drive my wife nuts keeping up with everything's in the bank when it's coming in and out. So I use Excel spreadsheets and document
nice.
Everything where I buy it, how much I paid for it. And then I've got a raw sheet and a graded sheet, so then I'll pull it off the raw and move it to the graded once it comes back, add that fee in there so I know down to the cent what I paid for it. And so, so far... you know, it's worked out pretty well. I think I've only lost money on a couple of cards. Everything else has been in the green.
Yeah, love the organizations you got, man. Let's go ahead and hop into some of your favorite cards if you want to showcase them real quick.
Well, like I said, I'm kind of a Braves guy. So I've got some Ignacio Alvarez that I've bought and had graded. That's a Sparkle PSA 10. Here's a black PSA 10. That I also got. Here's a 9/5/10, also of Ignacio. A blue 9 of Ignacio. Also got some Chandler Simpson.
You
Arkle 10 Simpson. Another Sparkle 10 Simpson. True Gold 10 Simpson. I got double Anthony Gutierrez green 10s. Mega Box 10s. Got a few Vaughn Grissoms. He had a great year this year. He's just out of sight, out of mind because he's off prospect list since he exhausted those limits. So I have a feeling he's going to come to a head this offseason. Either they're going to make a move to try to keep him on the team or he's going to get traded and then he's going to take off somewhere else. Let's see. Tyler Hardeman, a lot of people don't know about this guy, but he hits a lot of homers and he's a Yankees prospect. So I've been flipping his stuff and made some decent money on a few cards that I flipped to him. Let's see here. I got Rodrick Arias, blue wave, 9/5/10. I actually got this on 4th of July weekend for $150 on eBay. It's worth probably at least double, if not more than that. So, good time to shop on eBay's on holiday weekend. And then I also flip. I just like the guy. Willie Vasquez, there's a blue wave 10, gold shimmer 10, green atomic 10, and regular atomic 10. So I was going to say too, you know, we've been talking a lot about, I'm part of the show. You guys have been talking a lot on the show about the Kurtz Card Care stuff. I bought that probably not long after I got back into everything, and I've been using it. And it seems to work pretty well for me.
Good.
I know I had one card that had a pretty good ink spot on the back, and I worked on it probably 20-25 minutes between the polish and the spray, but I got the ink off.
Sure. Awesome.
Yeah, I used it on all of mine. And matter of fact, I had three different 6-card PSA submissions that I'd sent in, and every card came back a 10. Now,
wow.
My latest run didn't come back quite as hot, but I'll take that batting average
sure,
any day.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Marty, I really appreciate you taking the time today to get together with me and kind of showcasing your collection, talking about... your strategy a little bit, and we appreciate seeing you, man. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Paul Barty is deep deep in the flyer game for these prospect prints. And my question for you here, it was great getting to sit down with him and kind of discuss his why, some of the stuff that he's holding, how he makes his money. But my question for you, you see a lot of different parallels on these prospects from him. Does that give him, do you think he's using parallels as a chance to try to find market discrepancies? How is he doing so well on these flyer plays? When you look at parallels, are you able to find bigger pricing discrepancies, maybe because demand is lower for them or print run? They're just not as popular, maybe necessarily, and it gives you more buying power to bargain there and make those margins through flipping?
I think so. I think with prospects, there's a lot of variables, and that's why I don't go too deep on the prospects themselves. I don't go too deep into the list. But there's also, yeah, to your point, there's like the mega box, the mojo, there's all sorts of different parallels, and they come out in different skews within Bowman. And it's very interesting. I mean, I think we also see certain patterns, like even the serial numbered colored autos, some of them that there are less of don't sell for as well as some that there are more of, because it's not to the collector's preference. Maybe it doesn't color match the team, or they don't like the color. So yeah, you can get a little off track. You can get a little sideways with the parallels. We heard from Marty that he uses a spreadsheet and that he's very organized. He has another bank account. These are all insights and tips that we've sort of given our audience throughout the last couple of years. But we also heard from Marty that he's not quite to the point where he can use some of his profits to maybe help out his family with some different purchases and stuff. And so I wonder from Marty, I know Marty, I've met him at that show, the Nash Dash Annal, and he's a great part of our family. I wonder if he's taking a bath on some of those cards, profiting really well on a lot of them, but taking a bath on some of them that are too deep. I just wonder. I'm not saying that he is. The other thing I want to say is I hope he sold Vaughn Grissom right after the trade to the Red Sox, because that was like he alluded to the fact that like he had missed the selling window for Vaughn Grissom because he was off the prospect list and everything. And we always say sell before the call up. But when a player's traded, of course, he was just traded to the Red Sox last week. Hopefully he took advantage of that. But anyway, yeah, very, very interesting. I'm not going that deep on prospects, but again, another reason why I love the show and tell, because I love to see what other people are doing. Craig's Cards 11 has a 2024 goal of getting more organized and better tracking as well. So I think a lot of people are on that page for 2024.
Yeah, good breakdown there. And another nugget from this was Kurt's Card Care. So yes. Marty's getting, he said he's getting a lot of value out of that stuff. I'm curious to see if how many of our members have tried that, how many of them are getting value. I'm pretty sure that Chad's ran through it. I'm not sure if you have, Paul, but just a tidbit for those listening. If you are looking to kind of prep those cards and get them in a good spot for those grading submissions so that you don't get feedback to where you're throwing cards like SSI, definitely maybe take a look at Kurt's Card Care there.
Yeah, we're going to have Kurt on the show at some point in 2024. He and I have messaged each other, and he's aware that our audience is talking a lot about Kurt's Card Care, and he's happy to come on and give us some insights about his products and things like that. Yeah, I like the little jab at SSI. We love you, Kevin.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, that is going to do it for today's submissions. As Paul mentioned yesterday, 2024 really is all about you guys, the audience members. We're looking to get as many of you involved as possible. So if you're interested in being on the Sports Card Strategy Show, be sure to reach out to me. That's Connor at nooffseason.com. Connor with an E, C-O-N-N-E-R at nooffseason.com, or to Paul, Paul at nooffseason.com. Get in touch with us. We're looking to get together and record your L's, your W's, your goals, and your plays, as well as show and tell submissions, and get those showcased during the Sports Card Strategy Show. So, Paul, anything to add there in terms of how to be featured on the show moving forward and what things are going to look like?
It's simple, man. We want to hear from all of you. It's easy to be featured. All you got to do is email us and we'll tell you how. It's going to be something related to maybe your L's and W's, like Connor mentioned. Maybe it's going to be related to your goals. Maybe it's going to be a sports card strategy show and tell submission, specifically with what you're doing, what plays you're making. We want to get all of that from you. Email us, like Connor said, CONNER at nooffseason.com or Paul at nooffseason.com. And a couple other things I want to throw out there. We had a lot of our submissions are related to PSA grading reveals or strategies. And, you know, we mentioned on yesterday's show that there is a modern sports special right now. So go to psacard.com. We are not obviously partnered with them. This is not a call to action that helps us out. It helps you out. That's why we're throwing it out there. $14.99 per card. Declared value of $250 or less. Estimated turnaround time, 50 business days. Only a 10-card minimum. Any sports cards from 1993 through the present accepted. So a couple of things to consider there. If this is a card that you think is going to sell after it's slabbed for $250 or less or right around there, it can be. I think there's some wiggle room there with PSA, to be honest. It's all about the insurance of the shipping. So don't let the $250 deter you from making a submission if the rest of these minimum qualifications apply to you. So if you have 10 cards, regular sized, 1993 through present, and you're a PSA Collectors Club member, take advantage of the $14.99, save $5 per card if you can afford waiting the 50 business day turnaround time. If you have questions about the declared value, we're happy to answer that on the Overflow show. We can break that down for you. But I wanted to throw out the PSA grading special. Then the other thing is, we hope all of you are out there happy and healthy. There are two audience members that I want to put on a milk carton. Ryan Baruski, where are you? And Oh My Shoes, where are you? We love you guys. You've been with us since the beginning. We've seen other people like Greeny Green recently, who's been with us since the beginning. I have no idea where our dear friend, Mr. Ryan Baruski, is. Where are you, Ryan Baruski? If you know Ryan Baruski, if you DM Ryan Baruski, he has not responded to my emails. He is completely faded, Paul Hickey. I'm not taking him personally. I just hope he's okay out there, Mr. Ryan Baruski. And Oh My Shoes was a staple on this show. Where are you, Shoes? We know you got a great family, Mrs. Shoes, Junior Shoes, Mini Shoes. We just hope you're out there happy and healthy, Baruski and Shoes. We love you. I'm not calling you out. I just want to know that you're safe. Connor, that's all I got for today, man.
Love it. Let's wrap things up. Great show. Excited to see. We got Overflow coming out tomorrow. Get your free premium trial, 30 days to get those questions answered. See what we're all about. See what kind of value we can provide for you guys. Other than that, we will see you guys Monday and Wednesday next week at 12 o'clock, 1 p.m. Eastern, 12 o'clock Central Time. That's all I got. Paul, go ahead and take things away.
Thanks so much for being here with us on the Sports Card Strategy Show. To connect with us further, please subscribe to the YouTube channel at youtube.com/Paul Hickey. Please also give us a follow on Instagram at Sports Card Strategy and on X at No Off Season Card. We also have a Discord that you could join at sportscardstrategy.com. Everyone, I'm Paul Hickey. For the rest of us here at nooffseason.com, have a great day. We'll see you again soon.